Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County numbers are not updated daily. ECISD daily cases, 6 students, 4 staff. U.S. cases, 23,653,919 total confirmed and 394,495 deaths. Find out more at dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital will soon administer the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. For updates, details, or to register, visit mchodessa.com. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 520 East 6th Street, is expecting COVID-19 vaccines soon. The vaccine is free of charge while supplies last. Please check on vaccine availability. For more information, call 432-582-8549. That's 432-582-8549. Or visit tinyurl.com/Y3JQHZ89. Walgreens is currently delivering vaccinations to long-term care facilities and will have vaccines for the public sometime in 2021. For more updates or information, visit tinyurl.com/Y3LNW83. HEB has requested more COVID-19 vaccine from the state of Texas. Once they have vaccine, eligible customers can sign up using the scheduler to receive a COVID-19 vaccine at no cost. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. The CVS stores will soon have the no-cost COVID-19 vaccine available. They will administer in a phased approach based on state guidelines when available to pharmacies. For updates or information, visit tinyurl.com/Y508QJE4. 354 days. For 354 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Martin Luther King Jr.'s bust, as seen in the courtyard of Martin Luther King Jr. Center in downtown Odessa. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is a federal holiday in the United States, marking the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. Signed the holiday into law in 1983 by President Ronald Reagan. It is observed on the third Monday of January each year. King's birthday is January 15th. King was the chief spokesperson for nonviolent activism in the civil rights movement. Jacob Ford, Odessa American. ORMC is HealthGrade's five-star recipient for gallbladder removal surgery. OA Life at OAOA.com. Odessa Regional Medical Center is five-star rated for gallbladder removal surgery outcomes, according to new research released by HealthGrades, the leading resource that connects consumers, physicians, and health systems. Every year, HealthGrades evaluates hospital performance at nearly 4,500 hospitals nationwide for 32 of the most common inpatient procedures and conditions using Medicare data, and additionally analyzes outcomes in appendectomy and bariatric surgery using all payer data provided by 16 states. This analysis shows that patients treated at hospitals receiving a five-star rating have a lower risk of dying and a lower risk of experiencing one or more complications during a hospital stay than if they were treated at hospitals receiving a one-star rating in that procedure or condition. From 2017 through 2019, if all hospitals as a group performed similarly to hospitals receiving five stars as a group, on average, 218,785 lives could potentially have been saved, and complications in 148,681 patients could potentially have been avoided. Asterisk. Additionally, from 2017 through 2019, patients treated for gallbladder removal surgery in hospitals with five stars have, on average, a 54.6% lower risk of experiencing a complication while in the hospital than if they were treated in hospitals with one star. Similarly, patients treated for gallbladder removal surgery in hospitals receiving one star are, on average, 4.3 times more likely to experience one or more complications than if they were treated in hospitals with five stars. Hospital quality has never been more important, and consumers are becoming more aware of the importance of researching where they receive care before they visit a hospital for a specific procedure or condition, said Brad Bowman, MD, Chief Medical Officer at HealthGrades. Hospitals that receive a HealthGrades five-star rating for gallbladder removal surgery demonstrate exceptional outcomes and their ability to provide quality care for their patients. This latest award by HealthGrades demonstrates not only Odessa Regional Medical Center's commitment to quality, but more importantly, our effectiveness in achieving such high standards, said Stacy Brown, president of Odessa Regional Medical Center. Odessa Regional Medical Center was also recognized for the following clinical achievements. Recipient of the HealthGrades 2020 Obstetrics and Gynecology Excellence Award. Recognized by HealthGrades in 2020 for superior performance in obstetrics and gynecology. Among the top 5% of hospitals evaluated for obstetrics and gynecology in 2020. Among the top 10% of hospitals evaluated for obstetrics and gynecology in 2020. Recipient of the HealthGrades Labor and Delivery Excellence Award for 3 years in a row, 2018 through 2020. Recognized by HealthGrades for superior performance in labor and delivery for 3 years in a row, 2018 through 2020. Among the top 5% of hospitals evaluated for labor and delivery for 3 years in a row, 2018 through 2020. Among the top 10% of hospitals evaluated for labor and delivery for 3 years in a row, 2018 through 2020. Five-star recipient for vaginal delivery for 6 years in a row, 2015 through 2020. Five-star recipient for C-section delivery for 6 years in a row, 2015 through 2020. For its analysis, HealthGrades evaluated approximately 45 million Medicare inpatient records for nearly 4,500 short-term acute care hospitals nationwide to assess hospital performance in 32 common conditions and procedures and evaluated outcomes in appendectomy and bariatric surgery using all payer data provided by 16 states. HealthGrades recognizes a hospital's quality achievements for cohort-specific performance, specialty area performance, and overall clinical quality. Individual procedure or condition cohorts are designated as 5-star, statistically significantly better than expected, 3-star, not statistically different from expected, and 1-star, statistically significantly worse than expected. The complete HealthGrades 2021 report to the nation and detailed study methodology can be found at https://partners.healthgrades.com/healthgrades-quality-solutions/healthgrades-quality-awards/. Statistics are based on HealthGrades analysis of MedPAR data for years 2017 through 2019 and represent 3-year estimates for Medicare patients only. For appendectomy and bariatric surgery, HealthGrades used inpatient data from 16 states that provide all payer data for years 2016 through 2018. Odessa Regional Medical Center is a 225-bed hospital providing a full range of hospital services to Odessa and its surrounding communities. ORMC is a leading provider of comprehensive healthcare services, including advanced diagnostic imaging technology, emergency care, innovative surgical procedures, comprehensive cardiac services, and an award-winning maternity center. ORMC is part of Steward Healthcare, the largest private, for-profit hospital operator in the United States, with physician-led healthcare services committed to providing the highest quality of care in the communities where patients live. Steward Healthcare is the largest private tax-paying physician-led healthcare network in the United States. Headquartered in Dallas, Texas, Steward operates 35 hospitals in the United States and the country of Malta that regularly receive top awards for quality and safety. The company employs approximately 42,000 healthcare professionals. The Steward network includes multiple urgent care centers and skilled nursing facilities, substantial behavioral health services, over 7,900 beds under management, and approximately 2.2 million full risk-covered lives through the company's managed care and health insurance services. The Steward Healthcare Network includes 5,000 physicians across 800 communities who help to provide more than 12 million patient encounters per year. Steward Medical Group, the company's employed physician group, provides more than 6 million patient encounters per year. The Steward Hospital Group operates hospitals in Malta and 9 states across the U.S., including Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Utah. Odessa American for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. Section A, page 3, Local News Roundup. Chocolate Decadence. The Aphasia Center of West Texas and Concho Resources have scheduled a virtual Chocolate Decadence, February 12th. Reserve your party pack to support Permian Basin stroke survivors dealing with aphasia's everyday communication challenges. For more information, call 432-699-1261. West Texas Bull Invasion. West Texas Bull Invasion has been scheduled at 8 p.m. March 5th and at 10 p.m. March 6th at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 North Andrews Highway. Call 214-718-1038 or visit tinyurl.com/y4qye8zt. OA News at OAOA.com. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. Opinion. National View. Stacey Abrams shows there's still power in grassroots organization. The Point. Too many people think the political process doesn't work for them. That mindset can be changed with a boots-to-the-ground mentality. Georgia's Senate runoff race offers important lessons for political campaigns around the country on old-school grassroots organizing of voters. Democrats flipped two seats in a historically red state, upending a Republican stronghold and practically ensuring President-elect Joe Biden an easier ride as president. So badly was the status quo thrown off kilter that Republican lawmakers are already talking about trying to restrict absentee voting, as mail-in voting helped to mobilize throngs of new voters. We know the state is no stranger to such voter suppression tactics. The runoff system itself, held when no candidate gets a majority of the vote, was created in the 60s to dilute the black vote and give white candidates an edge. But it didn't work this time around. Thanks to Stacey Abrams, Georgia's former House Minority Leader, and the dozens of churches and other community and activists groups that held massive registration drives and rallied people to the polls. Ms. Abrams kept her word not to go away quietly after losing a 2018 gubernatorial bid because of what she called outright voter suppression, including the purge of voter rolls and denial of new registrations. She started the voter organization Fair Fight, and Republicans soon didn't know what hit them. What do they say about a scorned woman? She comes back with a vengeance and turns a red state blue, at least in the U.S. Senate. Ms. Abrams and other already entrenched groups, such as Black Voters Matter, canvassed the state searching for unregistered voters, including large swaths of people who had never registered or those who might have been on the voter rolls but didn't participate in the process all that often. In the age of social media, when Facebook and Instagram pages fill up with political ads during election season, activists used more traditional methods, like door hangers, and focused on issues to engage potential voters, such as systemic racism. They made people see how government could be meaningful to them. The result? A record-breaking 4.5 million people voted in the runoff elections, and black voters led the way in solidifying a Democratic victory. We're all better off because of it, too. With John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock in the Senate, it will end the Republican majority, the tyrannic reign of Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and the political gridlock that made it hard to get anything done. The country will, we hope, get a meaningful stimulus plan that will help people through the financial hardships caused by COVID-19. Reams of legislation that passed in the House, only to stall in the Senate, may finally see life. We hope desperately that it also means the country can begin to restore faith in our democracy. Baltimore ought to take some tips from Georgia's playbook on engaging an electorate. People often complain about the status quo, saying it's time for new blood and that certain candidates, say former Mayor Sheila Dixon, have their core group of supporters, and it's hard to break the voting cliques. That may be true sometimes, the newly elected Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott appears to have attracted a diverse group of voters in the last election. Maybe the answer, then, is for political campaigns to step up their ground games and mobilizing efforts and do a better job of reaching new voters and exciting those who have become disengaged. Mail-in voting, which has resulted in increased voter participation by making it easier to cast a ballot, will only help the cause. Yeah, voting is supposed to be a civic duty, but we know too many people who don't think the political process works for them, and so they stay home. That is the reality whether we like it or not. The good thing is that Ms. Abrams and Georgia have proven that mindset can be changed with a boots-to-the-ground mentality. They reinvigorated an old formula for modern times. So we say congratulations to them, and we can't wait to see what Ms. Abrams plans to do next. We certainly don't think this is the last we have seen of her. Perhaps there is another gubernatorial run in her future? The Baltimore Sun. A Trump self-pardon could be a service to the nation. For the past 4 years, Donald Trump has regularly flouted the Constitution, laws, and basic norms of presidential behavior, and he has gotten away with it. He has acted in faithful conformity to an inviolable principle. Anything he does is fine. As he said last year, when somebody is president of the United States, the authority is total. His incendiary speech before an angry crowd of delusional disciples in Washington is only the newest example of his self-proclaimed infallibility. "People thought what I said was totally appropriate," he said last Tuesday, hearing things that are audible only to him. But there is a plausible case that Trump was guilty of inciting the mayhem that followed when his legions marched to the U.S. Capitol and smashed their way in, some with violent intent. At this point, though, what's one more crime to a habitual offender? During his presidency, Trump has assumed he is immune to accountability. His bulletproof shield is the long-standing Justice Department policy that says the indictment or criminal prosecution of a sitting president would unconstitutionally undermine the capacity of the executive branch to perform its constitutionally assigned functions. Taking that policy as gospel, Special Counsel Robert Mueller declined to pursue an indictment for obstruction of justice, while also declining to exonerate Trump. But Trump's sturdy armor turns into a pumpkin on January 20th, and he will suddenly be staring down the barrel of criminal prosecution. He could face charges ranging from tax fraud to campaign finance violations to inciting insurrection. Bill Clinton, chafing at the isolation of the White House, jokingly called it the crown jewel of the federal penitentiary system. Trump could be the first president to move into one of that system's less prestigious sides. He has a couple of potential escape routes. One is to seek refuge in one of the many countries that have no extradition treaty with the United States, a group that includes Russia and Saudi Arabia, whose leaders he has coddled. He could live out his days in gilded luxury, beyond the reach of American courts. More likely in the coming days, though, is for Trump to grant himself a pardon. It would be a final outrage, a sordid attempt to escape responsibility for his actions. It would be a gross repudiation of his constitutional obligation to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, and it would perfectly reflect his corrupt character. He tweeted in 2018, "I have the absolute right to pardon myself." The surprise would not be if Trump pardoned himself. The surprise would be if he didn't. But it would be a good thing if he did so. In the first place, it would make clear to everyone that he's guilty of conduct that could land him in prison. Previous presidents didn't have to weigh this option because they had no reason to think they would need it. Trump has every reason to think he will. More important is that by pardoning himself, Trump would resolve the question facing the next administration on whether he should be prosecuted. A self-pardon, if taken as the last word, would give every future president a free pass for felonies. So the Justice Department would be obligated to challenge it by letting one or more U.S. attorneys file an indictment. The established position of the department, going back to Richard Nixon's administration, is that a president can't pardon himself. But since no president has tried it, the courts have never settled the issue. Legal scholars are divided, and not along ideological lines. The Constitution itself is silent. Given the roster of atrocious precedents set by Trump, the question would need to be put to rest. He certainly can be indicted by state prosecutors, because a pardon would apply only to federal offenses. But it's important to establish whether a president can grant himself the authority to violate federal laws at his whim, with no fear of ever being held to account. If not, then future occupants of the White House will have fair warning to refrain from crimes. If so, then we'll know a constitutional amendment is in order to prevent presidential impunity. Trump says he has an absolute right to grant himself clemency. We should welcome the chance to prove him absolutely wrong. Stephen Chapman. Chapman writes for the Chicago Tribune as well as being a syndicated columnist. Find out more. Read Chapman's daily blog, www.chicagotribune.com/news/opinion/Chapman. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. Death Notices. Domingo Mingo Estrada, Odessa. Domingo Mingo Estrada, 79, died Saturday, January 9th, 2021. In Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Virginia G. Gomez Gomez, Odessa. Virginia G. Gomez Gomez, 75, died Saturday, January 16th, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Floyd Dale Rainey, Odessa. Floyd Dale Rainey, 88, died Thursday, January 14th, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Juan Jose San Miguel, Odessa. Juan Jose San Miguel, 71, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 7th, 2021, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, January 21st, 2021, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Rose Hill section. Father Fernando Bonilla is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Clara Eileen Storms Sissel, Odessa. Clara Eileen Storms Sissel, 86, of Odessa, died Monday, January 11th, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m., January 20th, 2021, at Crossroads Church. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m., January 20th, 2021, at Crossroads Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor David Newton is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. James Madison Thomas, Odessa. James Madison Thomas, 71, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 16th, 2021, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Kenneth David Wallander, Odessa. Kenneth David Wallander, 81, of Odessa, died Tuesday, January 12th, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m., January 20th, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. This is the business and oil page. This article is entitled, Exxon SEC Probe Highlights Concerns Over Inflated Shale Reserves, by Kevin Crawley and Rachel Adams Hurd, Bloomberg. The Securities and Exchange Commission has been largely silent on the financial wreckage of the U.S. shale industry in recent years, but that may be about to change. The top U.S. financial regulators reported investigation into how ExxonMobil Corp. values shale assets follows years of concerns about the industry's rosy projections, which have left hundreds of billions of dollars of investor losses and write-downs. Exxon, the West's biggest oil company, is accused in a whistleblower complaint of inflating the value of a key asset in the Permian Basin and making drilling plans that were too optimistic, the Wall Street Journal reported Friday. The company denied the claims, while Exxon's stock fell as much as 6%. The SEC is cracking down on the overvaluation of these type of hard-to-value assets, said Arthur Jacoby, a former SEC official and now a partner at Herrick Feinstein LLP in New York, and who's not involved in the case. It's a very easy way to pump up the price of one stock, especially oil and gas companies using estimates for what they have in the ground. The shale revolution upended global energy markets over the past decade, making the U.S. the world's top oil and gas producer and providing oceans of cheap crude to consumers. The jump in production was built on shaky financial foundations, however. Funded by cheap money and spurred on by the sky-high prices that shale assets were fetching at the height of the boom, industry executives pushed a narrative to investors that fracking would make U.S. oil fields comparable to those in the Middle East. Oil giants like Exxon, ConocoPhillips, and BP PLC made multi-billion dollar shale acquisitions, turning wildcatters into overnight billionaires. Fracking pioneers like Chesapeake Energy Corp. struck large, highly leveraged deals of their own. But even as the technology advanced and production soared, those companies continued to burn cash. The industry wrote down $450 billion of invested capital and saw more than 190 bankruptcies between 2010 and 2020, according to Deloitte LLP. Many investors point to the gap in what shale companies say they can profitably drill and what they ultimately do. Exxon bought a large position in the Permian in 2017 and quickly ramped up production targets, culminating in a pre-pandemic plan to reach 1 million barrels of oil a day by 2024. The whistleblower complaint says some Exxon employees pushed for a lower valuation for some Permian assets because drilling times were longer than expected in 2018, the journal reported. The claims are demonstrably false, Exxon said in a statement, without confirming or denying that an investigation is underway. Actual and provable performance exceeded drilling plans for the Permian, and such performance has been accurately represented to the investment community. The SEC declined to comment. Still, the reported whistleblower complaint echoes what investors and some engineers have been saying about smaller shale companies' projections for some time. Many investors now focus almost exclusively on free cash flow, a figure that's harder to manipulate. It's all been boiling under the surface since 2012, said Ed Hirsch, a longtime energy fellow at the University of Houston. But the challenge here is really that for the last several years, the investment community has only been looking at the cash flows. Nowhere is shale more hyped than in the Permian, now the biggest U.S. oil field. The excitement reached a fever pitch after the oil price crash of 2014-16, when private equity rushed to get a piece of the action, getting what it believed would be a profitable entry point. Recently, many of those players have been forced to book massive impairments. Concho Resources Inc., which Conoco agreed to buy in October, took a $12.6 billion charge for its oil and gas assets earlier last year, one in a long list of huge write-downs that followed a coronavirus-fueled collapse in fuel prices. The move came 2 years after the company bought RSP Permian at a price that valued its oil and gas assets far higher than deals involving neighboring producers. Apache Corporation also wrote down the value of its flagship Alpine High project, long touted as a prolific find in an ignored part of the Permian, which instead ended up being far richer in gas than oil. At the start of the boom, when Aubrey McClendon was turning Chesapeake into a shale gas giant, the regulator changed its rules for how companies could calculate oil and gas reserves. Many blame the relaxed regulatory environment on just how complicated calculating future production can be. It is, after all, an estimate based on assumptions like drilling times, how close together wells are fracked, and the cost of leasing land. As some engineers have said, reservoir engineering is more art than science. It's not a simple investigation because assets can be valued in many different ways, Jacoby said. The SEC will be looking for a smoking gun showing that management pushed for an overvaluation. This article is entitled Keystone XL May Be Sold for Scrap If Biden Moves to Kill Project by Robert Tuttle, Bloomberg. The Canadian province that invested $1.1 billion of taxpayers' money in the controversial Keystone XL project is now considering the sale of pipe and materials to try to recoup some funds. If the project ends, there would be assets that could be sold, such as enormous quantities of pipe, Alberta Premier Jason Kenney said in a press conference Monday. That would offset construction costs. With Joe Biden set to be sworn in this week, the U.S. president-elect's campaign promise to cancel the crude pipeline's license is haunting the Canadian oil sands industry. The decision may come via executive action on his first day in office, CBC News reported on Sunday, citing people it didn't identify. Alberta, home to the world's third-largest crude reserves, has struggled for years with a lack of pipeline capacity to ship its crude to the U.S. Gulf Coast and other markets. TC Energy Corp's Keystone XL was one of the possible pipelines the industry was counting on to solve that. The cancellation of Keystone XL would cost Alberta taxpayers just over $1 billion Canadian, $785 million, Kenney said. In March, Kenney's government agreed to fund the first year of construction with a $1.1 billion investment and to guarantee $4.2 billion of loans as a way to jumpstart construction. The province and TC Energy have a solid legal basis to recoup damages through the courts, Kenney also said. More than a decade old, the Keystone XL project was first rejected by former President Barack Obama due to concern about climate change. But his successor, Donald Trump, issued a new permit when he took office. The incoming Biden administration owes Canada the respect to at least sit down and discuss the project before taking action, Kenny said. The Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers said that canceling the project would kill thousands of jobs and offered to work with stakeholders to find a solution to complete the pipeline.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, January 16th, 2021. Opinion. Make government boring again. Ross Ramsey, Texas Tribune. The Texas legislature is back, and on their opening day, Tuesday, state lawmakers gave you no reason to stop what you're doing and pay attention. That's almost a headline in itself. Tuesday morning was bright and chilly in Austin, except for the 24 state troopers in riot garb at each of the 4 ground-level entrances. The Texas Capitol seemed as quiet as it was a week earlier. The state police were there because of the uprising at the U.S. Capitol last week and because of threats and rumors of disruptive visits to state capitals between now and next week's inauguration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to succeed Donald Trump and Mike Pence. But Texas government was operating outside the drama zone. Both chambers got a welcome let's get to work speech from Governor Greg Abbott. State Representative Dade Phelan, R. Beaumont, was elected Speaker of the House with only 2 dissents. There were no other candidates, no debates, no scuffles, no conflict. The Senate was even quieter, electing Senator Brian Birdwell, R. Granberry, to the largely ceremonial posting of President pro tempore. Not much to see here. What a relief. Both chambers will vote on their operating rules this week and then disappear until January 26th. The first 2 weeks of the 20-week session will be all but over, just like that. The opening calm started a day earlier. Comptroller Glenn Hegar, one of the first officials to say recession last spring, as the pandemic spread across the state, made a surprisingly optimistic economic forecast on Monday. His early warnings that the current state budget could have a shortfall of $4.6 billion shrunk to slightly less than $1 billion, relative pocket change in a $250 billion state budget. And for the 2 years that follow the current budget, the 2 years that this new legislature will write a budget to cover, Hegar predicted state revenues will be about the same as they've been over the last 2 years. Budget folks would like to have more money to cover growth in the state population and inflation, but they'll take it. It's a forecast that will require some belt tightening, but not the chainsaw budgeting that some had feared. It's not the sort of news that sends social media into a noticeable swirl or stirs the kind of citizen activism you'd expect if big cuts were being made to popular state programs or services like public education. This is just plain government, important, worth debating about, consequential, and not a spark that ignites fringe groups with violence and vandalism in mind. Sparks might fly as the session continues. Redistricting is on the agenda, drawing new political maps that put this or that neighborhood or city or county into this or that congressional or legislative district. It's dear to politicians. It's as partisan as any issue. And given the growth of urban and suburban Texas, it will mean taking political power from rural Texans who already feel ignored in Austin and Washington. Legislation has already been filed to reform law enforcement practices and to enforce racial justice, problems that flared anew last summer with the killing of George Floyd in the custody of Minneapolis police, and similar tragedies. Some legislators want to leash the governor after 10 months of executive orders addressing the economy and the pandemic, all without legislative input or consultation. That one will make news, too. Texans from both parties want sweeping changes, not necessarily the same sweeping changes, in election law and in the ways we're allowed to cast our votes. Those are some of the battles ahead in the Texas Capitol, a building designed, after all, for debating and settling fierce differences in opinion. Some will get heated, like they always do, but Tuesday's beginning, especially in light of what happened last week in Washington, D.C., was just what you'd hope for. Boring. Vaccination after shingles. Dear Dr. Roach, I am 81 years old and was diagnosed with shingles at the end of October 2020. After taking famciclovir, I am healing, but still have a scaly rash and shooting pains on the right side of my head where the shingles occurred. I was told that the pain could last for a year or more. Is this true? The initial outbreak was on my scalp, forehead, brow, and eye area. I did see my ophthalmologist and was fortunate that the shingles did not get into my eye, just on my eyelid. I also saw my physician, who recommended I get the shingles vaccine in February 2021. My eye doctor disagrees and said to wait 6 to 9 months. What is the recommended time span between the onset of shingles and getting the vaccine? How long does the vaccine protect someone? Once you have the vaccine, can you ever get shingles again? LH. Answer. Both your doctors are right. Your regular doctor, who recommended a 4-month time span, is correct, but your eye doctor, who said 6 to 9 months, is right also. In fact, the vaccine may be given at any time after the shingles lesions are healed, crusted over. Getting shingles again within a year is very unlikely, so it is fine to wait up to a year after the bout of shingles. The length of protection seems to be long, but this is still a new vaccine, and it is unclear how long the protection will last. Unfortunately, no vaccine is perfect, even our best vaccines. Some people will get shingles despite getting the vaccine. Fortunately, the vaccine is even better at preventing the worst complication of shingles, persistent pain, called postherpetic neuralgia. Trials have shown 89% to 100% protection against this terrible complication. In people in their 80s, it can indeed last up to a year and occasionally longer. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021, etc. Dad objects to sharing his part in daughter's wedding. Dear Abby, yesterday my daughter informed me that her boyfriend will soon come to me to ask for her hand in marriage. She also told me she intends to have both her stepfather and me walk her down the aisle. This creates a huge problem for me. Her mother and I divorced 13 years ago because of marital infidelity on her part. She was having an affair with the man who is now my daughter's stepfather. When my daughter told me her plans, it took all my self-control not to go through the roof. I have thought about my daughter's wedding day since the day she was born, and now she wants me to share it with this individual who has caused me so much pain. Her feeling is he has been with her entire life, and she wants him in the wedding. I understand it to some extent, although for her to ask me to give up even a bit of this honor cuts me to my core. One of her reasons for asking is that we had a strained relationship for a number of years. I was never out of her life, although there were periods of time when we would fight constantly. I don't want to miss the opportunity to walk my baby girl down the aisle, but I simply cannot share this honor with someone who basically stole my family. Not forgiving in Texas. Dear Not Forgiving, I know this is painful for you, but you are not in control. If you are going to have the honor of walking your daughter down the aisle, you will have to figure out a compromise. I'm suggesting you walk her halfway to the altar and your daughter's stepfather take her the rest of the way, or vice versa. It has been done before. Dear Abby, at what age is it no longer appropriate to share a bed with your child? My sister-in-law, Mara, is a single mom with a 13-year-old daughter. Until recently, we were quite close, but we haven't spoken in a few months. Mostly, it's because of COVID restrictions, but we had begun drifting apart even before. Last week, I saw on Facebook that she had made a comment about them still sharing a bed. I think it's weird and creepy. It goes against every boundary I have as a mother myself. Should I keep my mouth shut? She won't listen to my husband, her brother, because he has been branded an abusive misogynist. Mara loves to play the victim and interprets any criticism, however slight, as abuse, especially if it comes from a man. Getting in touch with her out of the blue to talk about this seems over the top, but I'm genuinely concerned about the long-term impact on her daughter, who has voiced in the past, not in front of Mara, that she prefers to sleep alone. Is this none of my business? Over the line. Dear Over, if you suspect your niece is being sexually abused, Child Protective Services should be contacted. Otherwise, it is none of your business. Not every family, or culture for that matter, has the same standards. Until your niece finds the courage to tell her mother she no longer wants to share a bed, nothing will change in that household. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Royal Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Capricorn until 2:40 p.m., when the sun enters Aquarius, and a moon in Aries. Happy birthday for Tuesday, January 19, 2021. Electric, creative, and influential, you open people's minds. This year, you transform a humdrum project into something exceptional, and it becomes powerful and successful. You also work on developing good work habits. If single, you need the psychic space to dream and experience, so it is an extraordinary person by your side, but not until 2022. If attached, your relationship is blissfully intense. Leo truly gets you. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 5 stars. There will be much to celebrate today. A time of growth and opportunity commences. Select goals. Express creative ideas, attend cultural events, nurture relationships. Tonight, whatever you focus on will grow, so take care of what means the most to you. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 4 stars. A lost love or abandoned project could suddenly assume new importance. You are highly imaginative and creative today. Record your thoughts and ideas that occur now for future reference. use visualization to help affirm your future. Tonight, it's time to relax and socialize. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. Today brings teamwork and cooperation to assure success. Charming and talented associates create opportunities for you to fulfill a cherished wish. The magic inherent in color, music, and art can deepen your work. Tonight, reach out to old, lost colleagues. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 3 stars. Career matters are of prime concern. Your deep devotion leads you above and beyond the call of duty now. A little humor and perspective are a must. Otherwise, the intensity of your feelings could overwhelm professional associates. Tonight, take off and relax. Leo, July 23 through August 22, 4 stars. Discussions and written messages produce many good works today. Travel will be more rewarding than expected, if you can travel safely. It's also the perfect time to become more involved in higher education. Tonight, call a friend currently in another land. Virgo, August 23 through September 22, 4 stars. The veil to the afterlife will be especially transparent today. Be flexible and objective. Important matters demand your attention. Make your best effort. Others expect much of you. Tonight, spirit guides and loved ones on the other side communicate quite clearly. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. Your closest relationships will require some effort today. The secret to maintaining harmony is to try to see both sides. Be a very good listener. Avoid legal or conflicting engagements. Kindness and patience are needed. Tonight, have dinner with a loved one. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 2 stars. If a vehicle needs replacing, start to examine your options promptly. Verify departure times and reservations. There will be some last-minute schedule changes to allow for. The weather may impact you. Tonight, have dry, comforting clothing available, especially footwear. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 4 stars. Today brings a burst of artistic energy and sets the stage for commitments and meaningful creativity. A new project will be shared with one you love and admire. Be gentle and thoughtful with those you love. Tonight, conflicts of interest involving someone close to you. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 5 stars. Today brings some wonderful opportunities to acquire a larger, more comfortable dwelling or workspace. Shop for items you especially would like to have in your space. This could even find you planning a move. Tonight, talk it over with interested family members. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 5 stars. Today finds you more relaxed than you have been in many months. Pleasant greeting cards, jokes, or thoughtful telephone calls will improve all kinds of exchanges. Communicate creatively. Compose a rhyme. Tonight, catch up with an old neighbor or sibling. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 3 stars. Accept financial parameters gracefully. Security issues are accented. Any anger linked to work issues or past sacrifices you've made will lessen. The pressure is released. Postpone financial decisions. Tonight, organize your desk, and you'll feel much clearer and lighter. Born today, writer Edgar Allan Poe, 1809, singer Janis Joplin, 1943, singer Dolly Parton, 1946.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.